We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
Lapping you and lapping you and lapping you. We often scurry through this race called life, pushing off of one foot. Before we make it around once, there's others who have made it around 10 times. And we long for fulfillment, looking to relationships, looking to houses, looking to cars, looking to diets, looking to all kinds of things, you name it. Every person in here could name something we look to for our win. We want that win. We want that victory. We want that satisfaction. Only to find that it comes through being, this is going to be really deep, closer with the pastor. No, closer with Jesus. Only to find that it comes through relationship with God and being in his presence. That's where it comes. Well, I don't need that. I need this over here, but I don't need God's presence. Until you get into God's presence and until you experience it, then you realize, oh my Lord, where have you been all of my life? I can't get out of it. I don't want anything else but this. The first church had the same problem. We read this scripture every week for the last 3 weeks. I'm going to read it again. And yes, it is a discouraging verse. It's found in Revelation 3. They had the same problem. They looked to here. They looked to here to find their love. They looked all kinds of places. And God said to them through the prophet John, you have forsaken your first love. The one, remember, you that brought you to me, that wooed you to a relationship with God. You've forsaken Jesus. And he says, I know your deeds, verse 15, chapter 3. That you are neither cold nor hot. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Well, great. You say I'm rich. You say I'm American. You say I've acquired wealth. I don't need anything. But you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful. I'm banging the pulpit here. Poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. I counsel you, my friends. I added friends because it needs some kind of encouragement. I counsel you to buy gold from me. It's refined in the fire. That's not necessarily an enjoyable thing, to be refined in the fire. Gold gets through a hard time before it becomes beautiful and pretty, right? So you can become rich. It's not easy to get, but you know what I'm saying. And white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. Jesus was calling them to their rightful place. That's what he was calling them, and he still calls us today to our rightful place. But the thing is, we forget that place. We don't realize that since the Garden of Eden, this is what we talked about a couple weeks, or maybe last week, since the Garden of Eden, God has always wanted a secret place with us. He tried to get it with them in the garden, and they sinned. He tried to get it in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then he made his home with us in Jesus, and yet it was still hard for people to grasp. And then Jesus left, and he said, it's better I just go so the literal Holy Spirit can come and be your secret place. He will be everything you need. But we settle for the outer courts. We settle for confession. And we settle for the request realm. Oh, Lord, give me this. Oh, Lord, give me this. Oh, Lord, give me this. Yep, did you pray today? Yep, I sure did. I prayed and I asked him for this and this and this. Wonderful. Do you feel closer to God? I feel, no, not really. But I'll ask for those three things again tomorrow. And we don't get any closer. In our series, Closer, I want to call this message today, have a seat, take a seat, or I want to call it, this is a better name for it, your name is on the building. Your name is on the building. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. I pray that you somehow we would get it into our hearts and that we would live it out. Lord, let us be encouraged today through your discipline to us, through your love to us, in Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, Cynthia and I and the family, we left pretty quickly because we had won tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't know if you knew that they still are around. They're still alive. It's actually a different team now. They're way better than the old ones, actually, because they like dunk it and they do some awesome, they do some amazing things. Not that the old ones didn't, but these guys, yeah, they're another level. The way we won these tickets was my son, Jaden, entered a contest at Chick-fil-A where you video yourself to doing a trick shot, and then the best trick shot wins. So we went, and he won, so we went. And we're sitting out there. If you remember last Sunday, it was really cold, right? So it wasn't that bad to drive, actually. We going down there, we drove all the way down to the Broadmoor Arena, and we're waiting, and it's so cold, and I left my coat on the back row of the church because I didn't want to take it and leave and people thinking, what's he doing, leaving church early? What's going on? So anyways, I didn't have a coat, and we're sitting out there, and I'm freezing, and then we realized something. We realized that we didn't just have a ticket to the Harlem Globetrotters. We had a special ticket. A ticket that lets us go in early, lets us go through the club level, get out of the cold. As soon as we showed it to someone, they said, oh, you come right through here. You come right in these doors. Well, we're not allowed in here. Yes, you are. You come right in, and you just come down this elevator, and you go down this hall of all these pictures and all these people, famous people that used to, that have been here to the Broadmoor Arena and given autographs, and you sit at this table because you know what? The Harlem Globetrotters want to meet you before the event happens, and you don't have to go find them. They're going to come right to you, so sit at this table. They're all going to come say hi to you, and we're like, whoa, we're pretty special. This is something else, right? It was like, you've been in those situations where you thought you had one thing, and then you realize, oh, man, I'm pretty fancy, right? And I think this paints a picture of the way we respond to a relationship, that Jesus wants to have with us. Well, I'll sit out in the cold. I'll wait with all the commoners, right? And there's nothing special for me. And Jesus is saying, come to me. I'm knocking. Come on in. I want to sit with you. I want to eat with you. I want to hang out with you. If you read on in Revelation 3, that's what he talks about. I want to spend time with you. It's so hard to get intimate with Jesus. It's hard to spend time. It's because of us. We don't realize he's calling. Hey, come on in. I want to spend time with you. This is the way God sees us. We're going to read a number of scriptures today. Look at this one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'm going to have Christian quote it. Do you know it by heart? You're like, I don't know. She probably would if she heard it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you know it by heart? Say, oh, yeah. I'll let her, just because she was sleeping, so.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Yes, we are a new creation. Well, that doesn't sound like me. That sounds like Stephen. He's crazy, you know. Or that sounds like this person. Or that's but me, I am not. Yet we settle for standing out in the cold, not even realizing the table God has prepared for us on the club level. That's what I wrote down. We might say something like, well, I don't feel like a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Well, I don't sense that about me. I come to church, I try to engage, but my mind still thinks the same. Yes, it does, because your mind is not what was born again. My mind still, it's being changed, though. It's called sanctification. It's a fancy word that means that he's slowly setting us apart from the way we used to be. My mind still feels the same, but you are a new creation. Well, my body definitely doesn't feel any different. I feel the same. Well, you are a new creation. Well, my emotions are, for the most part, you know, that one song really got me going for a minute, and I raised one hand. I even put my finger up and said, God, you're awesome. But my feelings were still somewhat the same. Well, you know what? All that doesn't automatically change. It's daily being changed, like I said. But the reality is everything has changed because your spirit has been born again, and your status is changed. Your status has changed. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The new is here. Let me try to explain it like this. Some of our relationships with God are like the guy, and I picture Elf, but I don't picture Elf with this because this is the only one I know that sits in the mailroom, sits in a mailroom in a big building. But I'm not describing Elf, but it's like we work in a mailroom in the basement of a tall building. And our whole life, we walk into the skyscraper, and we just do our thing. But one day, as we walk into the tall building, we go through the front door. They say hello, and we're going, pressing down to go to our cubicle, our shared cubicle with four other people. And we don't realize that on the top of the building, our name has been written there this day. And because our Father, who we didn't know, decided he was going to do it. He was going to give us the company. He was going to make us the CEO. Yet the guy still doesn't know, and he goes back to his spot and starts sorting mail, and someone that heard about his promotion comes up to him and asks, "Well, how do you feel? I mean, is it great? Well, I feel the same. I don't feel any different. What do you mean? He said, You don't feel any different? No, nothing's changed. I'm just sitting here in the middle. The thing is, everything had changed for the man, but he didn't even realize it. And the other guy is saying, "My, oh my, oh my. I can't believe you don't understand what your Father has done for you." Reality had changed. He had the penthouse window office with a desk made out of gold, marble. Yet he didn't walk in his new position yet. That's us. That's us often when, I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to get to that closer place. I want to be intimate with him. And we don't realize, if we would just read the Bible a little bit and remind ourselves, wow, I have a place. I have a position. I have a place to sit. I better go into his presence. Psalm 80:18 talks about how God woos us, how God revives us, how God quickens us. He quickens us to come into his presence. I just can't stand spending time with Jesus. My mind wanders. My body gets tired. Can I comfort you with the truth? Nobody can do it on their own. We don't go into God's presence. People don't find an intimate place with God because of themselves. It's because they have realized that God has quickened them, God has revived them, God has called them into his presence. He wakes us up and woos us out of the mailroom, and he breathes life into our lungs and makes us come alive. Let me read to you once more your new job description, or more accurately, your honorable place to sit. We read this earlier, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read really fast until the good part. And it says this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And he made alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins and mailroom in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You did things the same way every week, the same thing. You were complacent in the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, comma, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. You were sinners, right, of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, planned to go to hell just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy for you, all right? Be encouraged today. He's rich in it. He's got plenty of it because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together. Parentheses, by grace you've been saved. No, it's not anything you did. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It goes on and goes more and more and more, but let's just stop there because we'll stop right there. We need to be aware where we sit, what position we hold, what authority we have. We must be made aware what privilege we've been given to enter God's presence. We forget it. We forget it. We discount what God has called us to. It's like being the CEO and sitting in the mailroom. Stop trying not to sin and just live in your inheritance a little. Start to live in who God's called you to. It becomes easier to not sin because you start to walk into what you're supposed to do. Isn't that true? We could literally just say that every week over and over, and that would be all we need. Just, oh, I hope I don't sin today. I hope I don't sin. No, we should be walking like, oh, I just thank you, God, for who you've made me, and thank you for who you called me. And the enemy is like so afraid of that. He can't get to you when you walk that way. It's called walking in the Spirit. Next week we're going to talk a little bit more about how to walk in the Spirit and how to experience the power in your life as you do that. Can I remind you, it's not about getting, earning, or achieving. Meeting God in the secret place, having intimacy with Him, is not about achieving. It's not about getting. It's about Him reviving you and wooing you in. I said this earlier, but the more I walk with Jesus, the more I realize the devil has gone from plan A to plan B. Plan A is, oh, let's keep them from knowing Jesus. Plan B is, if I can make you complacent enough, if I can cause you to settle for religion, then you'll never experience the Spirit-filled relationship with Jesus that you're supposed to have. The devil says this, if I can make you complacent enough, I'm saying it in another way because someone needs to hear this in another way. If I can trick you out of praying, out of worshiping, because it's not that important and it's not fun and it's not easy. If I can trick you out of accessing all the blessings that God has for you, then I have you. The enemy would say it like this, perhaps, to someone. If I can just keep you in the mailroom, you'll never see that your name, your father, put your name on the building. This is at the crux. And I'm going to ask our worship team to come up at this time. It's at the crux of what we talked about in the Stronghold series. We talked about that not too long ago. If you didn't hear about what we talked about in the Stronghold series, you should listen to it, because I actually listened to it to remind me, to encourage me. But it's at the crux of why it's so hard to pray, why it's so hard to worship. Because it is a war. It is a war when you start to get into the spiritual realm. Your body realm, your mind realm, yeah, that's a war too. But when you get into the Spirit and you start to say, God, I'm going to serve you, there is a battlefield that takes place. There is a battle that takes place. This is the ground where spiritual battles take place. It's in worship. It's in prayer. It's in intimacy with Jesus. It's in spending time with Him. That's why it feels good when you sing certain songs like we sang earlier, I am who you say I am. There, I declare victory in my life. That's why those songs are good, because you're experiencing small victories in your battles. You know, the war, I guess Carmen said it, the war's already won. It's those little battles we got to remember to tell the devil that he lost too. Spiritual wars don't take place in complacent people. You don't see the devil afraid of us when we are merely scratching the surface in our prayers and staying in the outer courts. Last week, the poor people that came, there's about 100 or so, I said, come up if this. And then I said, no, not if this. Everyone get up here. I didn't say get your butts up here, but I said get up here, because we all need to go to another place with God. We all need more of Jesus. So everybody get up here. And they're like, all right, I guess I'll do what he says, you know, and we get up here. But it's because spiritual wars don't take place in complacent people. And sometimes we need to get shook. Wake up, wake up. It's time. This is the end times. This is the end. We need to reach after Jesus stronger, because he's got so much for us. And the devil, when these kind of times happen, when people realize that but God, who is rich in mercy, has put us in spiritual places in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, then the enemy says, uh-oh, Houston or Colorado Springs, we have a problem. This man of God is starting to realize who he is. Uh-oh. Yes, David is dangerous. But what happens when he realizes who he is? Uh-oh, this woman of God is beginning to walk in the Spirit and beginning to tear down the strongholds that were keeping her from being closer and having a walk of intimacy. This territory is called our war zone. And I want us to bow our heads right now and be encouraged today that God has everything we need. And we say to you, Father God, we say, help us. Help us to identify when the enemy is trying to get in and mess with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your voice quickening us, calling us, reviving us. Help us to realize who we are. How many in this place, with a show of hands, just not to me, but to God, to Jesus, would say to Jesus, to God, to show the devil, you know, I don't know if he can even see what's going on in this place, but you would say, I need to be better at listening to what God has to say to me. Would you just raise your hand? I need to be better at that. And what that does is ignite something in the spiritual realm. Well, I don't feel like raising my hand, or I don't, in my body, in my mind, that it's not logical. Well, some things don't make sense that happen in the spiritual realm. If we could only see what God sees. I've said that many times. But so often we only see what we can see. And the key is to see what God sees. And let him work through us. Lord, we're open to hear from you. We're open to hear from you. We're going to take a moment right now. We're going to sing a song. And as we sing it, you don't have to even sing yourself. I just want you to spend some time with God. Just spend some time getting your heart right with him. Spend some time saying, God, I'm open to what you have for me. I want to take advantage of the battlefields of worship where I can break through some things. There's some certain things in my life I need to break through. God, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? And then I'll close with a couple of words, but let's do that right now.
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You caused your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, for all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song.
talk to Jesus.
And know how we love.
Tell him what he means to you today. So much more to this, but besides complacency, maybe for you that has kept you or what the enemy has used to keep you from taking your rightful place, it could be disappointment. And we've talked about this before, but maybe you're disappointed because it wasn't what you thought. It didn't happen how you thought it should. The two guys that went to on the Emmaus Road, they left after the resurrection, after Jesus died, but it was after the resurrection. But they did not know that Jesus is resurrected, and they're walking home, and they're so sad, and they're disappointed, and they can't worship. And the thing is, the person they were walking with was Jesus himself, and they said, "Oh, if we didn't know, if you don't know what happened," and it's Jesus was right before them. You're here today and you're feeling disappointed about something, give it to him. Give it to him. Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say. We purposefully took some time at the end of this message to have some time to kind of get some stuff right with God. And maybe that's you today. Would you just talk to him and say, "God, I am. You got me. I'm disappointed. I'm let down. I'm discouraged, I'm doubtful, whatever it is, I'm complacent. So because of that, I'm lukewarm. I'm not hot, I'm not even cold, I'm just kind of I'm just on the fence, I'm just walking. And yes, I believe in you, I know you're the King, I know you're the Savior, but for me, I'm just not where I need to be. So I give it to you. Would you give it to him?" Jesus, we love you.
Oh, how we love you.
We love you.
You are the one our hearts adore.
The Lord has put something on your heart for one other person. You'll get a chance to share it with them at the end of service. But if you feel like there's something that is for all of us, maybe an encouraging word for all of us, like that one that someone needs to hear, let us know. Come on up, and might give you the opportunity to share that. Jesus, we love you.
Oh, how we love.
This is an altar as well. If you want to come up and spend some time with Jesus, there's something about standing in your seat is fine. But there's something sometimes about getting out of your seat, coming before the Lord right here in his presence, and talk to him. Feel free to come and make a place at the altar. Get on your knees and talk to Jesus. Christian and Thomas, would you stand up here if someone needs prayer? Ron and Kay, would you stand right up here and be open to pray with people if they need it? You can also take this time right up here at the altar. Anointing for healing in this room today. We thank you, Jesus.
You are the one. Hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. You know how we love you. You are the one.
Come on up. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. We're not here just to hear a message. We're here to respond to what God is speaking to us individually. Spend some time with Him right now.
And you lift our wings. You make us strong. Took these rags and made us beautiful.
The Lord has just really moved on my heart that we need to draw near to Him, and I really appreciate the pastor's words, his encouragement, his exhortation. It's really the Lord calling us to draw near to Him. And the image that came to mind, it's one that the Lord used many years ago to draw me to Himself. And it's the image of an old farm couple that are riding in their pickup truck, many years old, one of those big, long bench seats. And the farmer's there with his hand over the wheel, and the wife's over on the other end. And she said, "What happened to us? We used to be so close. We used to like be close together and snuggle as we drove somewhere." And he said, "I'm where I'm always in. What happened to you?" And she's way over to the end. And I feel like there's some of us that we just need to move over closer to God. God is always there for us. He loves us with an undying love. He is so faithful to us. He has done so much for us. And he hasn't moved away from us. We have moved away from Him. And it is so easy in life to do that. It is so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to forget to be in the Word. It's so easy to forget to pray. You know, sometimes that moment between intending to pray and intending to talk to God and actually coming near to Him and talking to Him and doing business with Him can be a lifetime. You know, we can think, "Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Or I'll get right with Him later on." Now's the time. Draw near to God. And I hear that in the pastor's message this morning and what God is speaking to us. And sometimes we've made a great first step here. We have drawn near to God. We're talking to Him. That is a great first step, and we need to do that every day. But there needs to be some intentionality. Some, I'm going to draw near to God today, this hour, this lunchtime, tonight, right now, whenever it is, to draw near to God, to open up the Word. Some are like me. I mean, sometimes I get tired of reading the Word. I've been reading the Word my whole life. I'm just being honest here. But if I put on the U Bible app and start listening to the message or a translation that I'm not as familiar with, God does something in me. You know, so don't feel like, oh, I have to do this or that. I don't want to be a religious thing. But say, you know what? I've got this great smartphone that I can access the U Bible app, and I can just put on the Bible while I'm driving somewhere. You know, while I'm doing the dishes or while I'm working outside in the lawn or shoveling snow or whatever, I can put the headphones on. I can listen to the Word. I can listen to worship music. I can choose to spend less time watching TV or watching YouTube videos, or even watch something inspiring on YouTube. There's a lot of good content on YouTube that's inspirational. So I just feel like God's saying, draw near to me. Do the practical, intentional things that build relationship with God. Be in the Word. Read the Word. Listen to the Word. Go on, use modern media, mass media, social media, whatever, to draw near to God. Be around people and encourage people. And then the final thing would be share that with a friend. Be with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And right here, Sunday mornings, small groups, call somebody up, invite them over. Jesus said when two or three are there, he's there in the midst. So be intentional. Reach out to your brothers and sisters. Spend time with God. Spend time with one another. And let's all grow in the Lord together.
Would you stand up? We'll close. Will you just stay up here until 3 p.m. today? They'll be here till 4 p.m. The lights will be off, but you'll still be here. And don't move. Don't move. Okay, just kidding. We're going to close. We're going to sing a song together and worship a battle song, okay? Is it maybe the Who You Say I Am? Would that be a good one? Or Resurrecting, either one of those. We're singing it together. Please not do this like the last song, like, let's hurry up so we can get done. This is something God wants to, he's not closing something, but he's starting something new as you leave this place. So this song will be a song of battle. Song of fighting and a song of victory in your life. There's three things that I was going to say are the three things that keep us from experiencing a closer walk with Jesus. And one is worship. That involves prayer. That involves all kinds of things. One is trials. Don't let your trials keep you from Jesus. Not that Jesus made the trials, but it's very clear in the scripture that your trials are an opportunity for God to even get closer to you. Yet instead we say, God, I'm so mad at you. This trial happened in my life. Don't blame God for it, but let him come in. And those trials, those are times, I mean, everyone's going to have them. Everyone has the bad times. So when they come, let that be an opportunity for God to move in closer. If someone can understand this more than anyone, it'd be Rusty, you know, going through a trial in his life. This is a time where God will probably be closer to him than he ever is, maybe for you as well. And then the third thing is, you want to hear the third one that keeps us from this intimacy of sin. And that's the biggest one. And everyone in here has something that some kind of sin, and it may not seem ugly to you, but it is. It's just as ugly as any other sin, because these things keep you from walking in the Spirit. Do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, Galatians 5:16, but walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify those sinful nature. Would you give it up today to Him as we pray, sing the song? I don't want to be a person of sin, a habitual sin, habits, all these things. Lord, we're just gonna. I can't move on without praying for this. Would you all just lift your hand, acknowledging that you're sinful? There's a scripture that says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Lord, you see our hands. We're all sinful today. Lord, I would love to, you would love to see a church of people who do not give in to their sin, but walk in the Spirit. So Lord, we put our sin aside. We put our habits aside. We put those things that mess us up aside, and we say, would you take them from us? We know that you have forgiven us, but Lord, let us not walk in those anymore. Let us not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In Jesus' name, let's sing together.
Lost, but He brought me in His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Oh, the sun sets free.
Okay, declare it, folks.
Oh, is free.
Declare it.
Indeed.
We are free.
I'm a child.
Thank you for making us your children.
Yes, I.
We come against complacency. We come against disappointment. We come against doubt. We come against physical ailments. We come against all of those things. We come against time. We come against trials. All those things that keep us from spending time with you. And Lord, we know that it's not something that just happens in an instance, but it does start in an instance. And today we start something new. We start a new season of seeking after you more, greater, deeper. Lord, we want to know you more. Lord, I pray for those in the room that are going into this week for certain things. I pray for my brother Tim. I pray, I rebuke fear in Jesus' name as he goes in for this test, that we would see only good results. Only good results. We believe in the report of the Lord. I thank you for my brother Patrick. And as we wait for this next step, Lord, we pray for complete wholeness in his body. We pray that you would take away fear and anxiety in Jesus' name. I pray that anyone in the room that has fear and anxiety, would you just raise your hand? Lord, we pray for removal of that in Jesus' name from their life, that they would walk in freedom as they walk out of this place today. No fear, no anxiety, because you are the Prince of Peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Get your bulletin. Don't leave it here. It's got a lot of stuff in it that you need to know about. Thank you. Appreciate that.
The sun sets free. Oh, it's free. There's a place for
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.